Well, good morning. As my wife said, it is we're not really morning people. So it's great to see everybody wanted to come out here and listen. So thank you for being awake. So going off our scripture reading this morning, what pops to mind when that comes, when you read that section? And I'm interactive, so feel free to shout out answers. Not willing to come to him and ask? Okay. Anything else? Searching the scriptures is important. Kelly. Yes. Yes. Why would Jesus make this statement? Any idea? They had the knowledge.
They had failed to see that the scriptures pointed to Jesus Christ.
Yes. They had failed to see that. What if Jesus did it, like he did it for all these reasons, but he did it also for something a little more fundamental? And I take this from him, and I can point you to our president and to Matar, who we've talked, and I tend to be a major thorn in the side. Jesus likes just being a thorn in the side of people. So with that, I will point out a statement, or I'll put out a statement, and just think about it for a second. The entire Bible contains no theology. How does that resonate? How does that sit? Because isn't that what Jesus says? You build a theology, but they point to me. Theology is something that we do to gain an understanding of something. So let's take the Sabbath, for instance. So you go through the Bible. Okay, the Sabbath is spoken of in Genesis. You have the Sabbath in Exodus, Leviticus. Time and time again, you take all these references and then you build a theme throughout all of them. So if here it is, this is the context of our theology. And there's nothing wrong with that. This is how we gain deeper study. This is how we gain deeper understanding. The problem that Jesus is pointing out here is that if we just do that, we miss him. Because you can have proper theology without a relationship. Theology that isn't based in a relationship with Jesus can still be proper. You can still come to the realization, and I'll go back to the Sabbath, that the Sabbath is the right day to worship. The Sabbath is the right day for us to come together. You can still arrive at that, but there not be love for him and for others. And this goes back to something else Jesus says. And I'll paraphrase because I'm terrible at remembering things verbatim. But he gives people two laws. You love the Lord your God with all your mind, all your heart, all your spirit, and all your soul. And you love your neighbor as yourself. He wants us to realize the simplicity of this, the power of this. He doesn't just want us to sit here and know our Bibles. And so I've shared my testimony in the past, and I'll share a little bit here about why at 15 years old, I decided I was done with the church. At 15, I was able to absorb and I was able to regurgitate. I had just taken all Daniel and Revelation seminars. The ones that were held in the local church. It was Midland, Texas. I'd absorbed them. I'd absorbed the knowledge. I was able to spit things back. I was getting in arguments with my friends at school who were Catholic or who were this or who were that. I was able to do that, but at the end of the day, I didn't know who Jesus was. All that knowledge, and I realized I was empty. Being right didn't help. And so this goes back to, we search the scriptures thinking that we find eternal life, but they testify of Him. They need to testify of a relationship. So how do we build relationships? Spending time together? Yes. Yes. The point is to get to know God better. The point is to dive deeper into that relationship. But let's be real. How many of us have gotten lost in the trap that we're studying, and we've misplaced our relationship with Christ? There's a comment over here. Yes. Oh, definitely. Love is an action word. Has to be connected to Jesus. And so this takes us to the fundamental aspect of understanding and building relationship. Knowing each other's stories. Do you notice the Bible is written in story format? Not one place to say, okay, let's sit down, let's explain the Sabbath. Time and time again, it's written in a story format. Sometimes the stories are funny. Sometimes the stories are there to ridicule. And the Bible does have fun with it. But they're real. Everything is written in story format because the way God has made our brains is we resonate with stories. If we look for theology and ignore the story, we miss a valuable component. So for an example, we're going to go to John 15, verses 1 to 7. And again, me being a thorn in the side, I generally wonder if somebody in the audience would be willing to read that for us. It's Steve? Oh, awesome. Thank you. John 15, 1 to 7.
And my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away.
Oh, sorry, Steve. Luke.
Luke?
Told you, I'm not awake this morning, so it's Luke 15. My apologies.
Problem. Let's go to Luke. Okay, Luke 15, 1 to 7, the parable of the lost sheep. Then all the tax collectors and the sinners drew near to Him and to hear Him. And the Pharisees and scribes complained, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So He spoke this parable to them, saying, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, and he says to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost.' I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance."
Thank you. Now the question is, where is the story? When we read this text, what jumps out at us? And Peter's here with the microphone, so if anyone has a comment, just make sure to wave him down. Thoughts? Everyone half asleep this morning? question? When we read this text, what generally jumps to mind? And then the second part of the question is, where's the story?
He was found. Sorry. The lost sheep who was found. That's the story.
Okay. The lost sheep. Now, again, to be a thorn in the side, what does that mean? And the reason I ask this is that it's intended to make us think. It's intended to encourage us to dive into this relationship, intended for us not to just look for the theology saying, okay, God loves us, God will find us. That's simple. But when we dive into it, this is the thing, the beauty that flows out. The amazing picture of who Jesus is. It becomes crisp. It becomes clear. So any other thoughts? Yes.
I mean, when you read a story like this, there's lots of things that you start to think about. Mostly I start asking questions. Was that lamb his favorite lamb? What would have happened if it was had it been a different lamb? What was happening to all the other sheep that were languishing in the fold at great risk, possibly, to some kind of a wild animal jumping over the fence and going after them? Why did this sheep even run away in the first place? Wouldn't that sheep rather have spent time with the rest of the sheep? So I just ask all these questions, that's how I would process this story and try to get at the roots of what was the interesting, because Jesus, when he told these stories, he always had these little twists in there. Mm. And everybody was expecting one thing, and there was a little twist in there. So I have to put my mind in the mind of these shepherd-type people that he was speaking to and say, okay, so what's the trick going on in this little story that was getting them to be learn some kind of an important lesson? So I'm more like asking questions than finding the answer. So it takes a while to process this just when you're throwing that out there.
Oh, no, definitely, definitely. And you're correct. It takes a while. And the idea behind asking the question is so that we start processing. So it's not that we need an answer. You gain more from the processing. Yes.
Yeah, there's a few things in there that we can see. One of them, he can find him, but he can leave him there. Mm-hmm. He doesn't leave him there. He puts him on his shoulder, carries mm-hmm. him. So the person who was found that was lost, Jesus carries them all the way to heaven because there's celebration.
Yes.
So the celebration is heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And there's great joy in heaven. The angels rejoice.
Yes.
So there's a lot there. It's the whole Christian experience.
Oh, there's so much there. And one more statement here. Oh, two more.
The other night, Pastor Tucker presented what I would call some advanced righteousness by faith thinking when he said that true repentance is acknowledging that we have been found.
Mm. Yes. And one more statement here.
Okay, for me, what jumped out the most is once he found the sheep, yes, he carried the sheep on his shoulder, but he went and had a celebration. He called his friends together and said, come, rejoice with me. So that was the exciting mm-hmm. part. He wanted this to be a witness, this show, this is what I want you to do.
Yes.
Go out and find these lost sheep, so we can rejoice together.
Definitely a celebration mindset. And so kind of going, I'm going to circle back to what Kelly was saying here, one of his questions. Was it his favorite sheep? So I had this class when I was doing my undergrad at Berman, and we were talking about sheep and shepherds in that part of the world. And one of the things that was brought out is my professor shared the story of a gentleman who wanted to know about this parable in particular. And so what did he do? He goes over, starts talking to Bedouins. He's planned to be there 6 weeks. He ends up spending the next 20 years there studying the shepherd lifestyle, what this parable means, the depth of what we miss. And so, was it his favorite sheep? They're all his favorite sheep. So here's the thing about a shepherd in that world with his sheep. They build such an intimate relationship. They're connected. And so this gentleman that went over, he heard the story of this one shepherd who lost a sheep. And he went looking, and he went looking, and he went looking, and he could not find it. I don't remember the exact period of time that he was looking, but eventually he had to keep moving on. But every year he would come back to that spot and he would spend time looking for that sheep. And I think 5, 6, 7 years down the road, he runs into another shepherd near that spot. And as they're conversing over an evening, they get to the topic of, years back, I lost my sheep. You by chance haven't seen it. To which the other shepherd replies, yeah, a couple years back, at that time frame, there was a lost one. I brought them into my fold. They're in the fold. Excitedly, the shepherd gets up and calls. Now, they haven't spent 5, 6, 7 years together. The moment the sheep hears the shepherd, he comes running. The relationship that he's built with each and every one of his sheep is so intimate, it's personal. It'd be like with us and our children. So the shepherd who has lost his sheep, he has lost a part of himself. It's a powerful bond. Now, when you go through the story, we see it from the shepherd. We've talked about the shepherd's perspective. But we always ignore the sheep's perspective. What is a sheep going through? A sheep that has been lost, what is it that they experience? Fear. But there's a massive change. I'm going to ask that we play a video. It's only about 3 minutes long. And this is the story, I believe it's Chris the sheep, who was lost for, I think, about 7 years.
He's forgotten somehow and lost in the forest at least 5 years. I think he was a bit shell-shocked when he arrived. He couldn't really see because the wool had grown over his eyes. It must have been so incredibly painful. The local chap saw this mammoth living amongst the trees and had to look twice. And it turned out to be the sheep, so he texted us to see if we could take the sheep on, which we readily said yes. I can't imagine how he survived, but he did. Another sheep was with him, letting him know everything's okay.
This is a good place to be, old mate.
He had over 35 kilos worth of wool on him. That tells how long the poor fellow had been out there. We had to get the police up, but we knew that was a huge risk to his health and safety, but leaving it on was a greater risk. It actually took nearly an hour to get up because we had to go into hand scissors. And so it was matted and he had bits of sticks and twigs, all sorts of things in his wool. I really believe he knew we were helping him. He stood there and let us do it, which was just amazing because he was obviously scared. But he also felt comforted with the things that we were doing for him. When we got the fleece off him, we finally relieved him of his burden. As he walked down the alleyway, he started to get stronger in his legs. And he we had Chloe and Molly there on the other side so they could see each other through the stores.
Yeah. That's the best song.
He just stands there and curiously looks at us. He is so intelligent. He's got a pretty good life now. He's certainly got more confidence. Barak has evolved every single day into the wonderful being that he is. We are just so grateful that Barak came into our world.
Thank you, Andy. I was doing a little bit of reading up a couple years ago when this story came out, and they were saying that the fleece had grown so dense and so tough that when he was attacked by predators, they couldn't get through the wool. But now imagine, you're off, you're lost. You don't have your flock to protect you. You don't have your shepherd to protect you. And God allows the wool to grow around you to become self-protective. We become broken, we become isolated, the fear, the cold, all of that, the loneliness of being outside of the flock. And yet the shepherd is looking. Yes, there's a party. But for this sheep, he is looking for the comfort. He is looking for that connection. He is looking for his family. Because the reality is, sheep aren't very bright. If you've ever worked with the difference with sheep and goats, you'll understand goats are hated because they think they're intelligent and they know how to make your life miserable. Sheep just do their own thing. But the fear, we build the defense mechanisms around us. And so when the shepherd finds us and brings us back, we are broken. We can't see, as you saw with Chris here. He can't see anymore. All he knows is he can eat, and what else can he do? And it takes time to shear. It takes time for him to get stronger. It takes time for him to integrate into a new flock. And this is what the shepherd's doing. So at the beginning of Luke 15, when we see Jesus, he's eating with the lost, the broken, those that have the fleece grown around them for self-protection. Those who have to become callous towards the world because the world is dangerous. And then while they're sitting with the one person who's religious and who wants to sit at my table, why my table? Why do you want to eat with us? They're getting to know him. They're having this. They're building this relationship. And then the Pharisees show up. Why is he eating with tax collectors, sinners, and those that don't belong? So yes, the parable of the sheep is about Jesus. It's about the lost sheep. It encompasses so much. It teaches us of the depth of his love. Because he sees beyond the 80 pounds of wool. He sees beyond the matted fur, the matted wool, the thing that keeps us down. He sees the beautiful being underneath that just takes time, love, patience. So as we enter a new world, the reality is we've been shut down. Things have changed for our church, for our world. And we're asking the question, how do we move forward? And the thing that I always say, the thing that I've learned more and more, the more I study, it's not just to develop stronger, better theology. Yes, there's a part of that. We need to learn. We need to study. We need to build on that. But it's to go back to the simplicity of things. Go back to the stories of the Bible. Go back to the stories of each and every one of us here. We've all been that lost sheep that he came to find. Whether like me, at 15 years old, you decide you've had enough and you decide to go do the things that you regret and that haunt you at times. Or we've decided never to leave, but we still needed to be found. So just engage. Look at the Bible in the story format. How does it all testify of him? Get to know each other. Share. Stories are the most powerful thing that God has given us. So with that, join me as we close. Father, we are truly blessed to be able to be here this morning. And we've spent a week being together, being blessed by the presence of others, Father, being able to hear each other's stories, Father, being able to share insights, experiences, Father, just being able to be together. We have been truly blessed. And Father, that would be enough, but you are you. And your continual call is to come forward so that you can wrap your arms tighter around us, drawing us into deeper relationship with you, deeper relationship with each other. So Father, that's our only prayer, just to get to know you better, to experience, to taste and see how amazing you are. Thank you for this, Father. Really, what more can we say? In Jesus' name, amen.